Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. As the rain falls, may your hope rise up in each of us. May your love flow out of each of us. May your joy shine through us. We come before you, O Lord. And we take in this moment of peace that we may carry something of your hope, love, and joy together today in our hearts. Amen. So this morning we're going to be moving on in Nehemiah 8, where we find that the wall of Jerusalem was complete. Safety was ensured, and there was celebration within the city. Nehemiah as the governor and Ezra as the scribe and priest were concerned about the false sense of security that was settling in amongst the people. Right away, I was thinking, as I was reading, I was thinking of 9/11. We're America. Those buildings were a symbol of our strength. None of us were thinking that we could be attacked the way that we were. A false sense of security. Nehemiah set a schedule for those gates because he knew that trouble could arise. And he requested that the gates be locked at certain times. He appointed his brother Hanani to be the charge of Jerusalem. Hanani was part of the citadel, and he was a very, very faithful man. And the citadel is the fortress that stands high up on the grounds that will protect the city. You can see people coming in advance. Their prayer was answered, and their safety was ensured. And now it was time for them to move on, thinking about their spiritual provisions. Ezra became the main character within the book of Nehemiah. There were a few people living in town within the walls, and even fewer homes that were built at that time. Ezra was prepared to teach the law of the Lord, knowing the true source of protection was God's word. God's word would revive within the hearts of the people. There needed to be a revival. Starting at Nehemiah 8, verse 1. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all of the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate and from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. On the right hand and on the left hand of Ezra were men who were supporting him in his ministry of teaching. The ministry of God's word has the greatest effect when people can see men and women and children who are in support of it and obey it. And there's the list of people who were beside Ezra. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. And when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. The excitement drove them just to stand on their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, "Amen, amen," as they lifted their hands. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord and their faces to the ground, with their faces to the ground. The Levites, there's a list of the Levites, instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law and the clearly explained meaning of it. The people were being helped to understand each passage. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites were interpreting for the people, saying to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the word of the Lord. How awesome is it for us to be able to say amen to Sandra when she said, "That was the best day of my life when I accepted Jesus." Amen. It brings us to our feet. It brings us joy. The people stood to hear the word of the book, from the book, the law of Moses. They stood for hours. The book of the law of Moses refers to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This was Israel's instruction manual for how to walk before the Lord. The Jewish people had returned to their land. They were returning to his word, having respect for God's word. Perhaps that's what's missing in today's world, is that respect. God's word is meaningful and purposeful. The people were attentive to the book of the law. There was a better understanding of the word. Understanding. Seeing Ezra and the people beside him, people knew how they lived. People saw God working in their lives. They saw the joy that believing in God brought, and that's what they wanted. We, in our world, need to be attentive. We have to have the utmost respect for God's word. The National Archives and Research Administration had placed an article, and I'm just going to read some pieces from the article. Their building is 20 blocks away from where the Twin Towers stood. John Carlin wrote this article. I'm just sharing pieces of it. Someday, far in the future, records held by the National Archives and Research Administration will tell the horrible stories of September 11th to the generations of Americans who will come after us. These Americans will reflect on how their country was forever changed in one single devastating day. It is my hope that the records of this time of national tragedy will also reflect the truly amazing resilience, strength, and honor of the Americans who came together as a country to face new challenges. Early news accounts on the radio did not give a definite cause of the initial explosion, but the second crash left little doubt that this was terrorism. Details were still sketchy. However, after reaching colleagues in Philadelphia and Waltham, I emailed College Park. It seems that at least one plane was hit the World Trade Center, and both towers were on fire. We were told all entrances in and out of the city were closed. "I can't get through to anyone on the telephone. We will keep you advised." The time was 9:32. 27 minutes after the unthinkable happened, the South Towers collapsed, sending out shockwaves that registered over 2.4 on the seismographs at Columbia University. John Salardo saw it happen in seemingly slow motion. "The calamity of the event finally hit home," he later recalled. "I fell on my knees and I began to sob." Do you remember seeing on the news the amount of boats that were coming into the harbor? People were running to their boats, people running to their friends' boats, people were running to get in there. Remember seeing the firefighters running in to help people? Wow. God was there. God was there. A mother tells her daughter what it was like to be at the Pentagon when the jet tore through the building on September 11th. host, A. Martinez, is sharing the story of Tessa Williams, who was one of the first people in her family to ever go to college. Shortly after graduating, she got a job at the Pentagon. She was there on September 11th when one of the four hijacked planes crashed into the building and killed 184 people. At StoryCorps, she and her 17-year-old daughter were talking about what it meant to be there. Tessa, the mom, "My parents didn't come from a lot. My grandmother had a high school education. But given the Jim Crow laws, there were only a few jobs that were available for her. And so I had my sights set, you know, on rising in my career. And then September 11th came around. I was only 23, and the rug was swept out from under me." Michaela, her daughter, "What did you witness that day?" Tessa, "I remember the plane hit in between corridors 4 and 5. I was in corridor 6. There was just so much confusion, so much that was happening. I thought a bomb had hit the Pentagon. After I left the building, I remember just standing there, frozen. All I wanted to do was call my parents, and I saw people running into the building to rescue others. But I didn't think about running in. I was frozen. I was ashamed of that for a long time. I carried this weight of not doing more than what I had the opportunity to do. I didn't know that you went through so much. But did you know that events of that day inspired me to adopt you and your sister? I didn't know that either." Tessa says, "Yes. So 6 years after 9/11, I got the devastating news that your mom had passed away after giving birth to your sister. And I thought, now's my time. I have to step in. I'm in shock. I never knew that 9/11 could motivate you to do something like that." And Tessa shares, "Yeah, but you were just such a wonderful blessing, and I am so thankful to have you in my life. And you know, if I had the opportunity to talk to my younger self now, I would tell her that falling is inevitable. Focus on what you're going to do to get back up and to help others get back up as well." I find it amazing that these beautiful stories are still arising to the surface because of 9/11. We are being more secure as a world. People are turning to God. People did run in to help others and still are helping others a little bit more because of 9/11. Back to Nehemiah, they were hungering for God's word, the Jewish people. The Bible is a work of total grace for believers. And we know that with Jesus, we can get back up and we can help others get back up as well. The people of Israel were absolutely weeping as they heard God's word. They were truly convicted by their sins. Our sins don't need to weigh us down. "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." That was the message shared within the walls of Jerusalem. There was prayer and praise, and the word amen, meaning so be it, and that's the truth, could be heard over and over. Back to Nehemiah, starting at verse 10. Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 11. And the Levites, too, quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's word and they understood them. God was moving in their hearts. On October 9th, the family leaders of all the people, together with the priests and Levites, met with Ezra the scribe to go over the law in greater detail. As they studied the law, they discovered that the Lord had commented through Moses that the Israelites should live in shelters during the festival to be held that month. He had said that a proclamation should be made throughout their towns and in Jerusalem, telling the people to go to the hills to get branches from wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees. They were to use these branches to make shelters in which they would live during the festival as prescribed by the law. So the people went out and cut branches and used them to build shelters on the roofs of their houses, in the courtyards of God's temple, or in the squares just inside the water gate and the Ephraim gate. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were all filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, son of Nun. Ezra read from the book of the law of God on each of these 7 days, the festival. And then on the eighth day, they had a solemn assembly, as was required by law. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Having faith and confidence and an understanding of our Lord is a wonderful thing. Our conviction within our faith will give us strength to turn from evil when our thoughts turn negative. And when we think, I am worthless, this is too hard, turn to God. He will change your thoughts. Our strength and belief in God will carry us through. Don't rely on other people. Turn to God. Turn to the cross. Hold on, pray, keep on keeping on. Walk through the sadness and the pain that you may feel. The end result will be joy. Joy in the Lord. We find joy in the Lord by recognizing the forgiveness that God has given to us. He's given us that forgiveness through his death and his resurrection. 1 John 1:9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I feel in today's world that we need to be able to say, I'm sorry. We are forgiven by our Lord. Don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry to others if you do something wrong. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's a tough one, but we know that God provides these trials to allow us to learn and to grow. We are not to dwell in the trials of this life. God is so much bigger. There is a purpose for all the trials we go through. God has promised to promised comfort to all those who mourn, and he heals the brokenhearted. The leaders and the heads of households have a special need to understand and to walk in God's word. Ignorance and disobedience as a leader affects far more than themselves. It affects everyone that they have influence on. The Feast of the Tabernacles was going to continue in Israel. They were building booths, attaching them to houses, or having them nearby, wherein families could fast, study the word, rejoice in the Lord, and then feast. It began as a commemoration for the shelter of the Israelites during the 40 years spent in the wilderness. They had stopped doing that. They were not in their own country. They weren't going to do that. They weren't going to practice that way of giving thanks. And then they saw the Spirit of God working through His Word, and they felt that this tradition, this memory, the memory of the values that they have in their hearts was so important that they needed to continue to recall and to give thanks. And that is why they started to redo the Feast of the Tabernacles, taking the time to quiet down, taking the time to give thanks, taking the time to share with others. In our families, we have traditions. In our families, we are making memories, and we are allowing others to create their values as they grow up. Traditions are important. God's word would be taught to direct the lives of the Jewish people and to build them up. In simple yet beautiful obedience to God's word, His people were given the opportunity to see God's provisions and God's blessings. And all the people said, Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, our world changed with the 9/11 attacks. We have seen how easily buildings can fall and how quickly lives can change. As we remember 9/11, may it remind us that You are our only true security. Give us Your strength to face the memory of this attack and the changes it made in our lives. Give us strength when we feel weak, love when we feel forsaken, courage when we are afraid, wisdom when we are foolish, comfort when we are alone, hope when we feel rejected, and peace when there is turmoil. In simple and beautiful obedience, as it was displayed by Jesus Christ, may we take the opportunity to recognize God's provisions and His blessings. May we be the ones to get back up, and may we be the ones who help others get back up as well. In Your precious name, Amen.